I am Andrew Burton, editor of SearchDisasterRecovery.com, and I'm here today with Harvey Batten. Harvey is a certified business continuity planning consultant. How's it going today, Harvey?
Yeah, very good. How about you?
I'm pretty good. Looking forward to the weekend. First, can you just quickly define what it means to use colocation for disaster recovery?
Sure. Basically, what you're doing when you're using a colo or colocation is you're migrating your data center to a service provider. Colos, sometimes provided by companies specialized in site housing. It's basically a data center that has multiple customers can install their network, server, data storage, et cetera, so that the customer reduces his overhead and optimizes some other efficiencies. And sometimes it's used as a good place for DR or disaster recovery because it's not your primary location.
Okay, can you outline some of the benefits of using a colo for DR over just outsourcing DR completely?
Okay, when you outsource DR completely, what happens is you have no control over what's going on usually, and it's up to whoever your outsourcer is. When you use colo, it's basically your data center, it just happens to be in a different location. So you still have control over the hardware, the software, most of the communications, all of some, the other issues that can come up.
Okay, cool. So since it's going to be a facility that's, you know, not entirely controlled by you, though, I mean, it's not like you went out and made like your own disaster recovery site. How can you be certain that that facility is secure?
The best way is to physically go over to the site and give it a look-see. Look to make sure that there are UPSs, generators, how far the generators are from each other, check accessibility to the generator, check the UPS rooms, make sure they're clean and they're efficient. I mean, basically, the same type of thing that you would do if you're checking your data center. Also, see if it's monitored with cameras, video, if there are 24-hour surveillance of guards as well. And check their redundancy. And basically, the same type of thing that you want. One thing you would really want to do as a key is check if they're SAS 70 compliant and certified.
Okay, great. And what are some of the other things you should consider? When you're choosing a colocation facility.
Primarily, I would say is proximity to your organization. You don't want a colo site across the country. You want to be able to get to your colo site in case something happens to your primary site within a reasonable amount of time. I'm not going to define reasonable. It's up to whoever's making that decision. But basically, you don't want to travel more than a few hours to get there because you really have a lot of issues with people, and you might have to get there in the middle of the night, so you don't want to start traveling that far.
Okay, cool. What about cost? You know, how much does space in a colocation facility typically cost? Or do they even charge by space?
Yeah, they do charge by space and some of the other issues that they have. I mean, I've seen some small areas that charge anywhere from about $2,000 a month to areas that charge in excess of $30,000 a month. It'll depend on how much of a footprint you have. What type of equipment you're putting in there. Obviously, if you're going to put a mainframe in there, you're going to spend more than if you're putting in a couple of servers. So those are the types of things that you'd want to consider. You want to consider their backbone, communication, some of the other issues that you would basically want to know about accessibility.
Okay, great. Well, that's it for me for now. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Harvey.
Thank you.
And for more information about colocation facilities and other disaster recovery topics, please visit searchdisasterrecovery.com. Thanks for listening.